The show is called Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the program today, we have a couple of highlights from past shows of live performances that happened in our studio. And we'll actually have one of those performers with us on the show as well. He happens to be performing tonight with the Prairie Ensemble as a soloist in their spring concert. And also his co-soloist is with us as well. And they are guitarist Sean Purcell and bandoneon player Julian Labro, who is a guest with the ensemble tonight. So they'll be on the show, and we'll have those couple of highlights from past shows. Hope you will stay with us, and I hope that you will pledge your support for Live and Local. Phone us now at 217-244-0025 or pledge online at willpledge.org. So that is a bit of the second movement of the Second Symphony of Ludwig van Beethoven in a performance by the Tonhalle Orchestra of Zurich, conducted by David Zinman, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's one of the pieces that you can hear tonight in a concert by the Prairie Ensemble at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign at 7 o'clock. The complete symphony will be on that program, as well as music by Ravel and two Argentinian composers, one of whom I'm guessing folks have likely heard of, or many have heard of, Astor Piazzolla, and another who probably many fewer people have heard of, named Osvaldo Golijov, who is a contemporary composer. He's very much alive and writes some really wonderful music, and we'll be focusing on that concert today with two of our soloists, two of the soloists on the concert for the Piazzolla piece. We'll introduce them in a little bit. And one of those we'll actually be hearing in live performance, who had been on our show, I think all the way back in 2009, maybe? Somewhere I've got that date. I'll look it up in between. But before we get to that live performance segment from Live and Local, we want to remind you that it's our spring pledge period and it's weekday two. And apparently yesterday was a bit of a slow day for us here, at least on this program. And Heather Miller is with us giving facial expressions that said slow is the understatement of the day, I guess.
Oh my goodness.
So we need to do a little bit better than that today in order to get financial support for the station and for Live and Local. You can make your call at 217-244-0025. That is a new number if you're accustomed to pledging to the station and have for many years heard a different one. This is the one you need to remember today, 244-0025.
Well, you support the things that are valuable in your life, like the music you enjoy here at WILL, and we're encouraging you to use that new number Kevin just gave you, 217-244-0025, and make a pledge call of support, because it really is critical that we hear from you today in support of programs like Live and Local. I am a huge, huge fan. I work my lunch hour around this show. I make my dog wait till I've heard this show so we can take our walk. It's that important. How else are you going to know what's going on? And more than just what's going on, but hearing from the people involved in what's going on musically, artistically, here in our community. It starts with your pledge call to support this station and this program. And I'm encouraging you to do that today. We're having a great day today, by the way, much better than yesterday. And your call to 217-244-0025 right now will help.
And also online, of course, you can pledge there. It's easier for some folks to do that. Willpledge.org, very easy to remember. And Heather, I always appreciate your fanship of
I'm
the show.
Just thrilled. And Kevin cannot listen to this for a second, but he's a lot of fun to listen to as an interviewer. He gets guests to say all kinds of interesting things about the show, about themselves, about the performance. For example, why do you want to be a performer? Why do you want to get up in front of everybody and sing or play an instrument? What motivates people to do that? That's what I'm looking forward to hearing, and that's what you find out. So those little bits of background that make their performance that much more enjoyable and interesting.
And why on earth would you want to play an instrument called the bandoneon, for example, which we may find out from Julian Labro coming up in a little bit, because he actually plays that instrument and is one of the soloists on that concert by the Prairie Ensemble tonight. And what is a bandoneon anyway? We'll find that out as well. But first, after you make your call to 217-244-0025, and I keep having to look at that number myself because I'm so used to the old one, then we will have some live music. Actually, we're not going to hold the music hostage, but we will trust that you'll make the call sometime during the course of the program, because we do need to know that you're supporting live and local on FM 90.9. The first of the live performances from past shows that I want to share with you features somebody who's rather closely related to Sean Purcell, who is the guitarist, who is one of our guests on the show today. She happens to be his wife. Darden is her name. She's a wonderful jazz vocalist, and she was with us. It was she that was here in 2009, I was thinking of, November the 10th of 2009, with some University of Illinois faculty. Chip McNeil is the sax player, and Chip Stevens was the pianist, and I'm really forgetting who all else was in the studio. It was rather loud at the time, and I remember that the only way I could hear Darden at all was to have my headphones on, and if I took them off, I would see her mouth moving, and that was it. I've later been told that bands with Chip McNeil tend to be rather loud. So, Chip, if you're out there, you have that reputation, and next time you come in our studio, we're going to have you turn it down. But it really sounded great, and you'll have a sample of it here. It's Darden Purcell with the song called Comes Love from Live and Local in 2009, live in our studio.
One, two. One, two, three, four. Comes a rainstorm, put your rubbers on your feet. Comes a snowstorm, you can get a little heat. Love, nothing can be done. Comes a fire, you know just what to do. Blow out a tire, you get another shoe. Comes love, nothing can be done. Try hiding, 'cause there isn't any use. You'll start sliding when your heart turns on the juice. Comes a headache, you can lose it in a day. Comes a toothache, see a dentist right away. Comes love. Don't you know what I'm speaking of? Comes
hide behind the door comes love. Nothing, no, nothing can be done. Comes the measles, better quarantine the room. Comes a mousy, chase him with a broom. Comes love, nothing can be done. That's all, brother. If you've ever been in love, that's all, my sister. Don't you know what I'm speaking of? Comes a nightmare, always stay awake. Comes depression, you may get another break. Comes love, nothing can be done. When love comes, nothing, no, nothing can be done. I said when nothing can be done.
That was vocalist Darden Purcell, Comes Love, a standard, and we did look up the composers of that, Sean Purcell. I actually forgot that Sean was playing in that gig when we had them here in our studio, guitarist. Yeah, sorry. Well, I couldn't remember. I got mixed up in the various gigs that we had in here. I know, as I said, that Chip McNeil was the sax player, Chip Stevens the pianist, and you thought that probably Chris Nolte was the bassist.
I think it was Chris Nolte on bass and Brent Jordan on drums.
And that filled up the room.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, both with sound and with equipment. And so Sean was on the guitar. And so who wrote that standard, did you say?
It says Lou Brown, Sam H. Stept, and Charlie Tobias.
That's one of those standards that everybody, people who play jazz know the tune, but nobody really knows who wrote it.
Exactly.
There's a lot of those that one could say that of. And Sean is going to be playing with Darden tonight. And also with bassist Matt Hughes.
Matt Hughes, yes.
As the warm-up act, so to speak, for the Prairie Ensemble concert. They're going to start at 7 o'clock. The concert proper starts at 7:30, McKinley Presbyterian Church. That's one of the many events going on this week, and we'll tell you about some of the others as the hour progresses. And also we have with us the other soloist from this piece by Piazzolla, a double concerto of Piazzolla, who is going to be with the ensemble in that program, who's Julian Labro playing the bandoneon. It's a double concerto for guitar, bandoneon, and strings on that concert. And we do need to remind you, if you've heard it before, or tell you if you haven't heard it before, that it's time to donate your CDs, records, DVDs, tapes, and working stereo equipment to the Vintage Vinyl Sale to benefit Illinois Radio Reader, which is a program of Illinois Public Media. Just take your donations to any Busey Bank office in Champaign, Urbana, or Savoy. Call Dean Geiken at 217-333-6503 for more information. Of course, there's another number that we hope you will call during the course of this hour and let us know that you support Live and Local, that you support Illinois Public Media, and help ensure that our programs will be here with you in the coming fiscal year. And we've got some specific goals for this particular spring pledge drive, which happens this week, including 1,000 listeners who we hope will get involved in the drive during the course of the week.
That's right, Kevin. Our pledge drive is 8 days long this spring, and it's a very important piece of the overall fundraising goal for April, and that's to raise $250,000. And that sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but programming like Live and Local on WILL doesn't come for free. I'm sitting here with microphones and CD players and turntables. Who uses a turntable? And yet we have one, and we do, in fact, use it from time to time. But all of the equipment, all of the personnel here takes money to make it work. And you're probably wondering, well, where does WILL get all their funding? Well, here it is in a nutshell. 22% comes from text-based sources, the federal government, the state government. And if you've heard anything at all in the news, you know that's very much in question right now. The university provides funding, but again, the university's funding is also in question. 40% of our funding comes from you, the listener. People who are fans of Live and Local, just like me, who tune in every day during your lunch hour. And I know you're out there running errands and you're listening to the interview and you're going, wow, I can't wait to hear what's next. Because that's how I feel, and I'm sure you do too. Give us a call and let us know how you feel and what you're willing to share with us in the form of a financial contribution. That number to call, 217-244-0025.
Or pledge online at willpledge.org, willpledge.org. By way of introducing our other guest, now that you've heard a bit of Sean Purcell, along with Darden in that previous live cut from our studio, I want to play for you not a live cut, but this is one from a CD by the Hot Club of Detroit. It's called It's About That Time, which features tonight's other soloist on the Prairie Ensemble Concert, who has actually himself been live in our studio on the show. I just don't happen to have any of those clips with us today. His name is Julian Labro, and he plays not only the bandoneon, which is this concertina instrument originated from Germany, I think, didn't it? And we'll let you borrow Heather's microphone there.
Yes, it is a German instrument from 1846.
1846 specifically?
We know that this it was created, the first bandoneon. I just looked it up.
Oh, you just didn't know that?
Just to
this?
Make sure. No, I did know that. I just wanted to make sure. It was invented by Heinrich Behnd, and that's why it's got the name bandoneon.
Behnd. Oh,
after his last name.
And so it's when it got adopted by the Argentinians that the word acquired the accent at the end, where it's usually pronounced bandoneon.
That's correct, because it traveled to Argentina and became the soul of the tango, and so the Argentinian just respelled it their way and called it the bandoneon.
But you, as a Frenchman, say it
bandoneon. It's except closer than in English, bandoneon.
Yes, that's what you usually. Yeah, that's what you usually do, right? Well, here Julian is playing the good old keyboard piano accordion.
No, actually, button accordion.
Are you playing button accordion with
this? Yes,
that's
correct.
Right. You did. When you were in the studio with us one time, though, you did play with Frank Vignola, the wonderful jazz guitarist, his trio, and you played the piano accordion for that one.
It was
yes, you did.
Accordion.
I know. It was piano accordion. It had to have been.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so. I mean, my main instrument is the button accordion. Maybe I was, maybe I borrowed something, but usually this is what I play. It's a button accordion.
You mean I'm that old that I'm just forgetting really everything that happens on this show?
I don't know.
Heather,
well,
stop nodding your head so vigorously. Well, in any event, okay, so fine. You probably knew what you were playing, and it was the button accordion on this performance with the Hot Club of Detroit. The tune is called On the Steps. The tune was called On the Steps, played by the Hot Club of Detroit, which, among other performers, includes, as the accordion player, Julian Labro, who is with us here on Live and Local. He and guitarist Sean Purcell are both wonderful jazz players, as you could certainly hear from Julian there and Sean earlier. And we'll be hearing a live cut from Sean a little later when he was in our studio with a quartet on Live and Local. And but they are both in the studio today as soloists on a concert tonight by the Prairie Ensemble in Champaign, which includes the Second Symphony of Beethoven, Ravel's Le Tombeau de Couperin, music by Osvaldo Golihoff, which if I have any time I will sample a little bit of, and the double concerto of Astor Piazzolla. And we were just sort of chatting here as we were listening to that music about various synchronicities that sort of came up during the conversation where Heather Miller, who is with us from our membership department, had just was asking, you know, what instrument did Sean play? And he said, well, and she said, I never knew a guitarist who had only one. And he said, well, I've got seven guitars plus
tenor banjo and mandolin.
And you, in both of those cases, you've played those, you've ended up having those instruments for specific performances that you had to get involved
in. Yeah, I purchased the tenor banjo for a performance with the Chicago Jazz Ensemble. And I, of course, tuned it like a guitar, which is an old Tommy Tedesco trick. Great studio player in L.A. used to tune all of the various instruments like the guitar. And he referred to it as plectrum tuning, so that all of the producers or conductors wouldn't discourage his using guitar tuning on those instruments.
Meaning he made up that term?
He made up the term plectrum tuning.
And what does that even mean?
I have no idea.
Because, I mean, any of the plucked instruments, they call them plectral instruments because mm-hmm. that has something to do with plucking. So it sounded official.
Official, and I think a lot of conductors specifically want you to tune the instruments like they're traditionally tuned, and most guitar players end up tuning those instruments like guitar, and so he came up with that term to, I guess, assuage the conductors that wanted the traditional tunings.
Well, that's assuming the conductors even know what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I, for one, would not. I'll just tell you right up front. I wouldn't know. I mean, I could say I want it tuned like the real way, and I wouldn't know the difference if you had actually done it whatever way you felt like it. As long as you played the right notes.
Exactly.
It'd be perfectly fine with me, you know, sort of non-purist. But you said you also learned the mandolin or acquired the mandolin for a performance of Kurt Weill's music?
It was actually David Del Tredici, the final Alice that the U of I Symphony, we did a performance, boy, was it 2010 or maybe even 2009, and it's a pretty brutal mandolin part, lots of notes written in that. So again, I had a mandolin, but I tuned it also like a guitar for that performance.
So the mandolin has how many strings?
It has four strings, but then it's actually got eight strings, and each string has either a unison or an octave.
So how do you tune a mandolin like a guitar, because the guitar has six strings?
I tuned it like the top four strings of the guitar, so D, G, B, E. And it was kind of an ordeal because the mandolin, the way it's tuned, you really can't crank up the lower strings to be tuned like the guitar. So I had to actually buy a hybrid set of thinner strings and then tune it to get it to tune like the guitar.
Why don't you just learn to play the mandolin properly?
Because that would take too much time.
it sounded think like what you just described, the ordeal of what it was like to do it the way you wanted.
If I had more time, I would have done that, but... Yeah.
But I was thinking the Kurt Weill, I guess you said you played banjo in the Three Penny Opera.
Yes, way back in when I was an undergrad in college, so it must have been 1990, 1991. Played the tenor banjo and also tuned it like a guitar.
And both of these pieces, the Del Tredici piece and Kurt Weill piece, Julian, you said both have bandoneon parts in them.
Well, the Del Tredici piece, I think, calls for an accordion more. And I think I'm remembering correctly, it calls for an accordion part, but the Kurt Weill definitely calls for a bandoneon. And actually, I think on the score it says, if I'm not mistaken, it's notated church accordion. And Kurt Weill, being a German composer, most likely intended bandoneon because bandoneons were created, were a church instrument for small parishes that could not afford an organ, and actually they created the bandoneon to replace that instrument. So chances are Kurt Weill actually scored the Three Penny Opera with a bandoneon in mind, as well as the banjo and many other woodwinds instrument. It's a really cool piece.
What's the difference between a bandoneon and an accordion?
Well, it's size, shape, and sound. There's many, many, it's hard to just, you know, briefly explain. There's so many different ways. I mean, the reeds that are inside the instrument, they have many common elements, but they also have very different things among those common elements. The common, obvious one would be they're all reed instruments that vibrate by using the bellows,
So that's common, and they have keyboards that you press keys on that will set a certain read off and then make a sound. But as far as the accordion is much bigger, has straps, and usually you have to carry in front of you. The bandoneon, you set it on your knee, on one knee usually, playing standing up, and only has buttons on each side. It's also the material primarily used to make reeds is in zinc, which is very important because it's a different sound than the accordion reeds that are made out of steel. And then also the bandoneon is built all out of wood, just like a cello or a violin is, and the accordion isn't. So the sound will definitely change between the two instruments.
Well, probably the better bandoneons are made out of wood, because I've seen some that are made out of plastic.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not sure we can call those instruments.
Ooh, I said that on purpose to see what sort of reaction I'd get.
Oh, you got it.
I think we had one of those in our studio, as a matter of fact, one time.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure it was a plastic one.
That's unfortunate.
I could be wrong, yeah. But I was pretty sure about that. Well, we're going to hear an example of the bandoneon. This is played by... In fact, this is from one of the pieces that is on the concert tonight by the Prayer Ensemble, the one in which you guys are both featured, Sean and Julian, in guitar and bandoneon. And this is, let's hear a little bit of the second movement of Piazzolla's Double Concerto for guitar, bandoneon, and strings. And this is, it seems like he couldn't really write a piece without writing a tango at the same time, or at least writing the feel, sort of the sometimes mournful feel of a tango. The last movement is actually called a tango, but the second one is called a milonga. You want to talk about what is that?
Well, milonga is a dance, just like the tango is, but it's a variation of the tango. And
it's a specific dance, or it's a dance
or steps,
event?
I think. Well, now it has become an event, but I think originally it was a step, and also as well as it's got that rhythm, tang, 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 tang. That's the typical rhythm of the milonga, which is featured in the second movement by Piazzolla, and that's the reason why he entitled it milonga.
And the performers here are guitarist Matteo Mela with bandoneon player Per Arne Glorvingen, who's originally from Norway, and I Solisti di Parma. This is a recording that none of the three of us knew existed until I just found it today on iTunes, because I tried to get Piazzolla's own off of a DVD I have, and it wasn't working. So, and we don't yet have capability to just play sound off of a DVD here. So anyway, here's some of the second movement of that piece by Piazzolla here on Live and Local. Give us your support by pledging your contribution to WYLL and to Live and Local. Phone us now at 217-244-0025. That's the second movement of the Double Concerto of Astor Piazzolla, which you can hear in its entirety tonight at 7:30 on a concert by the Prairie Ensemble at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign, 5th and John Streets. Actually, the evening starts at 7 o'clock with a performance by, it's advertised as the Sean Purcell Three-Tet, and that was really before Sean knew who he was going to be bringing with him on the concert to play as the opening music for the concert. And in fact, he's bringing his wife, Darden, the vocalist we heard earlier on the show, and so it would more properly be called the Darden Purcell Trio.
Yes.
But the thing is, you know, you jazz people, you just get whoever you need for the gig, and then you give it a name.
Sure, sure.
You know, and yeah. Or you could have the Sean Purcell Three-Tet, and it would be whatever.
Featuring Darden Purcell on vocals.
You could do that, or as long as it had Sean Purcell in it, you could have any other two people you wanted, and it
sure.
would still be the Sean Purcell.
Exactly.
And same thing with Julian. Do you have any groups that you've named after yourself yet?
Once in a while. Depends. You know, you make it convenient.
And what
Julian
do you
Labro
call them?
Trio, Julian Labro Quartet.
Julian Labro and Friends. That's the most creative one I came up with. Or somebody else came up with
it. Yeah, that's real creative.
Yeah, because you never know who can show up at the gig, and that's kind of how we roll in the jazz world, you know?
Again, because you got
you got
people subbing all the time with a
standard
band. And that always amazes me that people can come in and pick up, usually on no rehearsal, with a group that's been playing together, you know, for maybe years, and all of a sudden you got to sub out the guitarist. And how do you know that they have your feel, that they have your sound, that they even know the tunes you're going to play?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully whoever you're hiring, I mean, there's a definite body of material that most professional jazz musicians are at least familiar with. If they don't play those tunes all the time, they at least know the tune. So, you know, you just get out on the gig and try to find a group of tunes that everybody's pretty familiar with, and then just go.
Of course, if you're a band that plays a lot of originals, then maybe some rehearsals in order?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, when we did Darden's CD release party, we had a different bassist than was on the record, and no rehearsals. He just, I think it was, who played on that? Maybe Chris Nolte or Joel Kelsey. And they're strong readers, so they just read the charts and try to make the charts look as good as possible for ease of reading, and they step in and just do it.
Or then sometimes just give the guys the CD. They need one time listening through, and then chances are they get how it's done, and they can just step in and do a great job, you know.
It's amazing that you can have players you can rely on to do that. So I guess you wouldn't have asked them if you weren't pretty sure that you could.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean, I wanted to ask you what's the transition like for you going from playing jazz guitar, which is your bread and butter, to playing this Piazzolla piece, which is written for the classical guitar? And I noticed last night at rehearsal that it's sort of a hybrid.
Yeah, I'm definitely cheating a little bit. It's the part really should be for pure classical guitarist with the totally finger style with the fingernails and all that, and I'm using a hybrid pick and finger style approach. And for volume purposes, I'm putting my nylon string guitar through a little tiny amp just for sound reinforcement. So I'm, you know, a purist may not appreciate it, but that's just, I don't really do classical guitar specifically. So that's my approach, is to use pick and fingers. And I actually had a teacher when I was an undergrad that would do that with a lot of classical music. So
really?
I think I just kind of picked that up from him, yeah.
Because you did study classical guitar.
I've studied classical guitar. I did a little bit when I was younger. And when I was in Washington, D.C., I actually studied with a professor from Peabody for a little while. But, yeah, just the nails and everything, I've always been too lazy to keep my nails up, and so the pick and fingers work pretty well.
Well, and that means, you know, when you say keep your nails up, that means actually keep them long.
Keep them long and keep them polished, and you know, that's an art unto itself, the keeping your nails together for classical guitar.
Now that's a question for me to ask sometime of somebody who does play classical guitar.
Yeah.
What's all involved in that? I mean, have, if you go to the nail salon, do you see all these girls sitting around, and then if it's a guy, is it probably a classical guitarist?
Well, I don't think that they would go to the nail salon. I think with the acrylics and everything, they have their own techniques that they use. Like some people cut up little balls that are plastic balls, and they'll actually glue this plastic to their fingernails.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ping pong balls.
That's, yeah. Oh, well, that's like an oboe player or a bassoonist. They have to learn how to make their own reeds for the instrument. And so this is, you got to learn how to do your own nails.
I actually have a whole book on classical guitar nail upkeep. So people are writing books about that.
This is the appropriate moment for Heather Miller to step in and express her habitual amazement about the things you learn on Live and Local, because I had no idea these things you were just talking about.
Nor did I. I'm like, ping pong balls on the ends of your fingernails for a classical guitarist. Who knew? Except a classical guitarist, of course. And now everybody listening to Live and Local. I mean, the amount of information, the learning alone that goes on in this hour is incredible. from learning about bandoneon this afternoon. We had a didgeridoo player here, and I got to see that. Two of them from Central
Dueling
Illinois.
Dueling didgeridoos.
Found their way to WILL and gave a concert. It was amazing. And amazing things like that happen on this show every day, every week. And with your pledge to 217-244-0025, it'll continue. But it only happens when you take a moment and you make a pledge. And if you don't feel like calling, if you're on your computer working away, willpledge.org, our website. Give us a pledge right now.
217-244-0025 or online at willpledge.org. You know, I've sometimes thought that I've occasionally thought that I would like to do a show sometime live in the studio with the accordion, the banjo. You could put in the didgeridoo, and there's a fourth instrument I'm forgetting. And these are probably the some of the most maligned instruments that there are. Oh, viola, probably. You know, instruments that, you know, there are jokes about that people claim to have been highly annoyed by, you know, and so on. And you were actually talking earlier, before we even started the show, Heather, talking to Julian, that your mother annoyed you with the accordion.
She abused me as a child and forced me to learn to play the accordion Lawrence Welk style. I'll admit it.
And Julian, you said you're not surprised somehow or another. Why did this not surprise you? And you didn't take mortal offense that somebody could be considered abuse that they had to learn the accordion.
Oh, I hear these stories every day on a weekly basis. Like, I meet people and then be like, oh, you know, I'm not sure if I like the accordion anymore because, you know, I was really traumatized as a child. I say, what happened? Oh, you know, my parents used to think I was going to be the next Lawrence Welk. They made me practice 5 hours a day and watch TV, watch Lawrence Welk perform.
Which you can still do if you want
can
on
WILL
TV.
The reruns are amazing. But, you know, I don't take offense because, I mean, it's, you know, the instrument, it can do several things. And it's just, you know, the Lawrence Welk, there's nothing wrong with it. It's one aspect of the, you know, of music. And certainly there's so many musical styles in which the accordion can be involved and can be really proficient and solid and just nice to hear with it. And so I'm, you know, to me, it's just like, hey, there are other styles of music. Check it out. And maybe you'll change your mind about the accordion.
And anybody could play any of those styles of music really badly on the accordion, in which case...
In any instrument.
That's right. Everybody could take offense at that.
That's right.
Well, here's a live segment that we had in our studio, and this was... I did look this up, and I've lost it again. I had this tiny piece of paper. Oh, August of 2010. Sean, I don't remember what the gig was, but you had some gig going on.
I was just playing a Sean Purcell Quartet gig at the Iron Post with Chip Stevens, but he was unavailable for the radio show. So I think it's Dan Pearson, Matt Hughes, and Brent Jordan.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
But it says here that the tune was Might This Be Bop.
Yes.
From Live and Local in 2010, featuring one of our guests on today's show, Sean Purcell as the guitarist. Thank you. It was live on Live and Local in 2010 with Sean Purcell and his quartet, the quartet of the day, as it happened. They were playing at the Iron Post either that evening or later on in that week, and that's how and why we have our live performers on the show with a pretty great regularity. I find out what's going on in our listening area, or try my best to find out many of the things that are going on, and call up folks and see if they're willing to talk to me and let you know about what they're doing, and if they happen to be in the area or can come to Urbana in our studio during the noon hour, then we get them to do that. And that's when we have the most fun, certainly when I have the most fun, is having people play live in our studio. And Sean was able to do that back on that occasion. We'll have to have you do it again sometime.
That would be great.
In fact, it would be great to have that woman, Darden, come back sometime.
That would also be great.
The one you hang out with so much.
Yeah, we hang out occasionally.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Darden and Sean and bassist Matt Hughes are going to be opening up the Prairie Ensemble concert tonight at 7 o'clock at McKinley Presbyterian Church. And then Sean will switch guitars and join up with bandoneon player Julian Labro for the double concerto of Astor Piazzolla on a program that also includes music by Ravel, Golijov, and Beethoven, his second symphony. For more information on the Prairie Ensemble and their concerts, you can go to prairieensemble.org or phone 355-9077. That's in the 217 area code. I want to say thanks to Julian and Sean for joining us on Live Local today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
And best of luck on the concert tonight. And our show is made possible in part with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector, the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLFM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is, of course, a member-supported service of the College of Media. And in so reminding you of that, I want to also remind you that it is our spring pledge drive this week, and we need your support to make sure that Live and Local and our classical programs are with you in the coming fiscal year. Give us a call at 217-244-0025. Pledge any amount that is comfortable for you. As they say, no pledge is too large, none too small. $40 is the basic membership level. $52, of course, a dollar a week. And $365 would be a dollar a day. Pick a figure that works for you and make the contribution. Make the call or go online to willpledge.org. And you can use your credit card in either place, willpledge.org or 217-244-0025. We'll be back with another show with more highlights and one of this week's events highlighted as well from 12 to 1 tomorrow. It's going to be a sunny day with a high temperature of 62 degrees.